Let's face it, size matters.
Truly epic proportions.
Especially when it comes to your financial talk.
I have a plan.
Quick sound bites and rush chatter won't help you.
Blah, 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 blah.
You want more details, more depth.
Concentrate, focus power.
More to think about.
What do you think?
This is Money Life's Big Interview.
I think it's brilliant.
A meaningful conversation on money and markets.
This is why we're here.
So settle in.
I made you coffee.
You're going to be here a while.
That's just perfect.
Oh, we actually think it is just perfect, and we truly think it when you get a chance to hear from really bright minds. And I am thrilled with my guest today. He is very well known, but he's never been a guest on any iteration of my show. I don't entirely know how I've gone this long without talking to him, but I hope that that does not stay as anything that continues in the future. His name is Michael Arenstein. He is President and Chief Investment Officer at Marketfield. It's marketfield.com. It's Marketfield Asset Management. Like I said, it's marketfield.com, a website you should check out if you're one of those folks who likes the good commentaries that we talk about on this show. And here to bring you some of that commentary is Michael Arenstein. Michael, welcome to Money Life.
Well, thanks for having me.
You are known as being a savvy market observer. Yeah, we talk to a lot of folks who seem to think they are, but at the same time, right about now, we're not getting a lot of convincing arguments. I've talked to a couple of members of our audience who are like, I hear one guy who sounds really smart one day and he's saying things are going to keep going. And I hear one guy who sounds pretty smart the next day and he's like, hell is coming. Where are we, in your opinion, at this point?
Well, it's very tough to generalize in broad brushstrokes because, you know, the world has been pretty asynchronous for quite a number of years leading up to the panic in 2008, and in the period since, you know, you had U.S. Central Bank act very forcefully in the latter part of 08, and that kind of saved the day as far as we were concerned. You know, the European Central Bank delayed for another 3 years before doing anything, so as a consequence, Europe almost fell apart and came very, very close to having a full dissolution of the European Union back in 2011-12. And then you look at the emerging markets, which were in a pretty buoyant cycle right up until 08 and coming out of it because they didn't have the same problems with a housing excess that we had here or that parts of Europe had. So the world is kind of all over the place, and it's very, very hard to generalize. But I think the big picture fact to keep in mind is we're still dealing with a world where the main problem is there's too much money. It might not always be in the places that people would prefer, but the sheer abundance of money throughout the known world is really the striking characteristic of this this era. And what it's done is it's created price distortions across a host of different assets and driven things to levels that people really can't imagine. So that's the tough thing about getting a reckoning in this day and age, is you're dealing with an entirely new environment where money is literally almost falling from the skies.
Well, and that creates the situation where, okay, we've got certain assets at levels we can't imagine, which means we certainly can't imagine them going higher, yet the market seems to be able to push them higher, as you well noted, because cash is falling from the skies. Does that continue indefinitely? I mean,
well, no, it's going to be very, very tough for the central banks to sort of recall this missile. I mean, they sent it out there, and It's a big one, and I'm just looking out my window now in Midtown Manhattan, looking down Madison Avenue, and you know every commercial building you see here probably could have been bought for, I don't know, $30 to $50 million 10 or 12 years ago, and they're trading at $300 to $500 million right now, and there's no sign of the demand abating. So if you ask me, is that a reasonable value, I'd say no. But people are pouring money into funds and managers whose main charge is to keep buying real estate. And so you see it happening in every city center across the globe. The prices look enormously expensive, and then they keep going up. So,
well, as a result of that, you have been, you know, obviously folks can hear from the tone of voice, you have been not necessarily calling for things to be horrible, but you have been getting protective in the portfolio and those sorts of things. Do you have to ride out some unpleasantness, and how do you not at some point go, okay, this market is irrational, and oh, by the way, I am in business to make money?
Yeah, no, we've taken that attitude really since 2009. We felt like the monetary adventures of the various central banks would succeed in provoking asset price inflation. So we've been participating to the best we can for that period, and have had a fairly aggressive exposure to equities. The nature and locale of those exposures has changed, but you know, we still feel reasonably constructive given that monetary policy around the world has basically succeeded in eliminating a lot of sources of return for investment capital, particularly in fixed income, which is now, and many people have described it this way, a source of returnless risk. And with that being taken out of the equation in terms of providing cash flow for individuals, institutions, pension funds, etc., now the money is forced to look elsewhere. There are very few people who have saved or put together a fund of one sort or another to provide for the future who are contemplating having the return on safe assets in sort of the 1-3% range. And so that's really forced people to look elsewhere, and we're in a process of return search that is ongoing, despite the fact that one has continued to be forced into expensive assets.
Now, I mean, I have said the Fed has basically been daring us to invest for a long time now. At the same point, does this bode that when things finally come to an end, it will be screeching, screaming, horrible pain? Oh, yes, get out all of the overvaluation and then some, head for the hills kind of stuff?
Well, that might be true in the bond market where, you've had a real excess and people are, I think, pretty complacent. But, there's still enough concern surrounding most equity markets so that the likelihood of a real devastation on the order of 2008 or 2001-2 is not that likely. Emergencies usually occur in the places where people least expect them. That's why they become shocks and emergencies, is because there's been no contemplation of the possibility. So we're quite concerned about the whole structure of fixed income markets globally and about the amount of risk people have been forced into taking in order to get some minuscule return. But at the same time, the beneficiaries in this world that is characterized by nearly free access to capital have been corporations, businesses. They're the ones that can access the bond market the most easily. Sovereigns have been close behind, but there really aren't ways of pricing sovereign governments in the same way that you can see the price of a company's stock.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been, in a world where real interest rates are so suppressed, you really want to own things that can take advantage of that. And, 12 years ago, it was anybody who could sign their name could borrow as much as they wanted against a house.
Yep.
So it was individuals, for the most part, that were given the free rein in the credit markets. This time around, it's mainly people who can issue fixed income securities of one sort or another on an institutional level. And that's, for the most part, that is the business sector. So you have nearly unlimited liquidity available to businesses, as opposed to, you know, back in the last decade, people could use, to the extent they owned a home or more than one, people could use that as a collateral basis for accessing pretty much as much liquidity as they wanted, and obviously more than they should have in hindsight.
Yeah, well, I guess that means we're inflating another bubble here, a different bubble, and unfortunately, our bubble on time has burst, because I would love to follow that up. So we're just going to have you back on the show. I hope you will come back at some point.
I'd be happy to.
Michael Arenstein, thanks so much for joining us. Michael is the Chief Investment Officer at Marketfield Asset Management. If you want more information on the firm, it is marketfield.com. If you want to learn about the Marketfield Mainstay Fund, or the Mainstay Marketfield Fund, MFLDX, the ticker symbol. All right, we've got much more to go on today's edition of Money Life. Hey, we've been talking about bonds here. We're going to talk about rates next as Greg McBride from Bankrate.com joins us. Then John Buckingham from Al Frank Asset Management and the Prudent Speculator Newsletter in for the Money Life Market Call. Stick around. We'll be right back.